Welcome to Whispers to a Bride, where we talk about the stuff no one else is talking about. We are going deep on the emotional aspects of getting married, the stress, drama, and turbulence that affects your own sense of identity and your closest relationships. We are talking about what it means to be a bride and how to navigate the sacred time with more grace and ease. I'm your host, Kara Gasabe. As a life coach and therapist, I'm going to be sharing super practical tips so that you can not only rise to the occasion of your wedding, but also your life. Hello, hello, and welcome back. This is Kara, and you are listening to episode 135 called Center of Attention. So we got to circle back to a sort of fundamental aspect of planning and being in your own wedding. And that is this notion of being the center of attention. And it's come up a few times recently with questions on Instagram and my own clients, this fear of being the center of attention. And maybe not even fear, but just like general discomfort with being the center of attention, which is kind of a funny feeling to express as they are simultaneously expanding their guest lists, you know, over 150 people and wanting to have all these people there to support them, but then also feeling like, but I don't want like everyone staring at me and that's going to be really uncomfortable. And I don't even know how to deal with it. And I don't really like attention and that whole thing. And so the topic deserves a moment. First of all, I think it is very normal to have discomfort with the idea of being the center of attention. Because if you think about it, the way that humans evolve and find safety is by their togetherness, right? It's this idea of like being with a herd, being with the tribe, being, we're very interdependent species, we're very social species. So we really exist in relationship with one another. And as we all know, from surviving middle school and high school, the safest way to exist as a human in this social environment is to kind of get through unnoticed, kind of just skate on by, blend in with the crowd. That's why people spend so much time trying to keep up with the Joneses and like be good enough to not be noticed for being way outside of the norm with their appearance or their actions or their habits or their behaviors. Right? There's this whole idea that we're always constantly watching each other to see what's considered normal so that we can enter normal range so that we can go unnoticed, which will then let us be unostracized or heavily scrutinized, right? There's this idea, if you think of bullying or those kind of like intense negative human interactions, usually you are being noticed and then being harassed or put down or ostracized, being othered. That's that whole concept where all of a sudden, like everybody's looking at you, everybody's judging you. And that puts you in a very vulnerable position just as a human. So our brains are wired to avoid that. We really don't want the spotlight in general. Most of the time, most people walking through their life, they kind of want that anonymity and just go with the flow, keep it moving, stay with the crowd, be sort of normal and unnoticed. Except for the people in our life who we really do want to notice us on a very much more scaled down version, right? We want our partner to see us. We want our parents to notice us. We want our best friend to call us. We want to be seen and noticed, but we don't want like 100 pairs of eyeballs on us, evaluating us, judging us, deciding what. Like that's where it starts to hit that danger zone in our brain. And interestingly, weddings by their nature kind of set that scenario up. So if you're following the logic, it's super, super normal to feel anxiety and nervousness about the concept of intentionally bringing a bunch of people together to then like stare at you specifically. And again, we're doing it on purpose. So it's not dangerous. The whole point that it's not dangerous is because we're in charge of bringing these people together. These are people that we know, like, and trust for the most part. But our brain doesn't always catch up with that part of it. It just feels the feeling of being watched and analyzed and the center of attention. So I think just wanting to really normalize that fear and that anxiety doesn't mean, oh, you shouldn't be having a wedding, or you weren't meant to do this, or you won't be able to handle it, or you won't be able to enjoy it, right? I think the point is being like, yeah, let's acknowledge that this is a little nerve-wracking to kind of be in front of a bunch of people. If you're not someone who's used to the stage or the limelight, public speaking, obviously one of the number one fears of all humans is public speaking. And so if this is not your wheelhouse, if this is not an edge you're used to pushing, if this is not a comfort zone you're used to leaving, then your wedding is going to be a good moment of growth for this. And I just want to normalize that the fear is completely rational, and it's also totally workable. Like, we can deal with this and we can work with it. And so first thing is, just don't think you're special or unique for being scared of it or feeling icky and funny about it. First, just be like, okay, this is part of the process. So we're going to expect it. If you listen to this podcast before, you know that managing expectations is half the battle. So let's expect some nerves around wedding day. Okay, cool. We know why that is evolutionarily advantageous for us to not be like stared at by large crowds of people and evaluated. Okay. But this time we're doing it on purpose. So we are going to get back in touch with the storytelling part of our brain, the meaning-making part of our brain, the narrator in our brain, so that when the fear and the anxiety comes up, like, oh my God, this feels dangerous, this feels scary, this feels icky, I don't want to do it, we're like, no, no, we hear you. And also, we chose this, we want this, we're going to lean into it, we're going to bring the anxiety and the fear with us, but we're going to proceed anyway, and not, we're going to understand that it's a false alarm that's going off in our brain and not a real alarm. And so just that awareness alone, so, so comforting. The other thing that we're going to do is really, really tap into the body. You know, I love to get us out of our head and into our body. We're going to breathe. Even when we're thinking about this wedding that's 3 months away, or if we were standing at the end of the aisle and the thing is 3 minutes away, the same thing will save you, which is your breath. And the most important thing is that exhale. We're going to trick our body into relaxation by doubling the exhale and making that twice as long as the inhale. So a lot of times I like to do 4 in, hold it for a sec, and then 8 out. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I have one client who always tells me, like, I cannot go 8. I just can't. I don't have that much air. And I'm like, it's interesting. It doesn't seem like you have that much air, because oftentimes we are super unaware of our breathing and we're not using our entire lung capacity to breathe. But if you bring some attention to it, think about it like blowing out a candle, and you want to blow out like those last two, you can always find a little extra air. So that's all I need you to do when you're practicing a relaxation breathing technique, is to really focus on the exhale. When you think you've got nothing left, push out just a bit more. Again, that is telling your brain, it's using your body to tell your brain instead of just letting your brain tell your body. We're telling our brain, like, we're actually safe, because if we were actually in fight or flight and danger mode, we would be just shallow breathing, focused more on the inhale. We got time to spare, we're going to exhale. I think that is just one of those very important somatic reminders. The other thing is to talk about it. I think sometimes when we have a fear that lives inside our head, it gets so much bigger and more inflated if we don't just mention it. So I love, like, if you're the bride, if you're the groom, whoever you are, just saying to the people around you, like, I'm so nervous about this. And let yourself say it out loud so that you can get it out of your head and into, like, someone else's holding container, right? So I'm the person standing next to you. I'm like, I hear you. I got it. I will sort of witness your anxiety and your nervousness with you and hold it with you. And there's something very interesting and elegant about, like, letting other people in on your emotional state instead of this idea of, like, oh, this is a me problem. I got to bury it. Everybody understands, like, you're going to be nervous, right? And we all can totally feel what that feeling is. And we all know the ickiness of it. And when the limelight is not on us and we're in that safe, like, crowd position, we're happy to hold some of your fear for you and with you. Just telling the people that you're in the room with, like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling nervous. I feel like it's so awkward, all these people staring at me. Letting it out, letting it be a real thing, but also releasing it from, like, the treadmill in your mind, where these fears and anxieties tend to just keep revving and revving and revving and revving when there's no place for them to go. So we're going to park it. We're going to expel it. We're going to handed over, so to speak, to whoever is around us. And that sort of day leading up, or the days leading up, part of the work I do with people is like, let me hold some of your feelings about this. And having me carry it with them really does effectively lighten it for themselves. And then the other thing I want you to do, sort of like the last real technique to sort of deal with this concept of attention and being center of attention and like just the ick that goes with it, is that the other part of just like human relation and like what makes us feel good and happy and safe with our peers is this idea of like reciprocity. Like, you do stuff, I do stuff, it's kind of equal. Like, I don't owe you anything, I'm not in debt to you. And so there's this funny thing that happens with weddings where we're like, oh my gosh, these people travel, they bought a special outfit, they hired a babysitter, they bought me a gift, they're spending their weekend. So like, it feels like it's too much coming at you, too much goodness, too much kindness, too much attention, too much prioritization. Like, it's just, it's a sense of like, it's too much receiving without anything to give back. And that can make you in that vulnerable, indebted, awkward position of like powerlessness or indebtedness that people do not like to feel that. They want to feel like it's equal, it's reciprocal. Like, I'm a good friend, you're a good friend, we hang out. Like, I'm a good cousin, you're a good cousin, we both go to Christmas. But now it's like, oh, you're going to my event. So there's just this idea of things being sort of equal or balanced or stabilized in our human relationships. And of course, a wedding is going to destabilize these things. And we see that all the time in wedding planning when some friends are going to be in the bridal party, some aren't. And like, that causes a whole thing. There's just so much destabilizing of our relationships that go on around weddings. But in this specific case, around when it's just sort of around like the whole crowd is sort of doing something for you that you can't return, and giving you all this extra attention and gifts and money and time that you can't exactly return in that moment or in that season of your life, instead of going into like a shame spiral or an embarrassment or like a foxhole or like a discomfort and just staying there, and like, I want you to step into a gratitude. And that gratitude, it's almost like an enzyme to metabolize the goodness that we just plain old forget about because it's boring as a concept and it's almost too simple. Just like breathing, the simple things hold all the medicine and all the magic if you are intentional about really harnessing the power. So I want you to think about, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the center of attention. All these people are showing up for me and looking at me and loving on me and everything. And that's just a lot to take in. You can take it in if you decide to be grateful for it and not feel uncomfortable or shamed or indebted or unable to give it back. You just simply say, thank you. Receive it. Allow it to be in. Allow yourself to be the center of attention for this one short day of your life, right? Trust and believe you will not be having wedding-like center of attentionness going forward, probably most of you for a very long time, if ever again. And so letting it be your turn, letting yourself take up space. I know for women, this can often be a huge hang up, just not socialized to take up space, to be the center of attention, to like accept the glance of all of these people at one time without earning it or doing something or working for it or paying it back or caretaking them. Can you just let it in, right? Get into some of this goddess energy of like, I am worth it just by being here. I invited them here. They accepted. Nothing has gone wrong. And I am grateful. And it's this gratitude that's going to allow me to be open to receiving the gift that is these people's love and attention. And then not only do you marinate in that gratitude, that is just a perfect place to start. And like I said, it will work as an enzyme to metabolize the attention. But then you express that gratitude. Whether you are grabbing that microphone at the beginning of your reception, at the end of your reception, at some point in the middle, thank you guys for coming. This means the world to us. We can never repay you. We never imagined it could be this wonderful. Whatever nice thing you want to say. But the key is you're saying thank you for being here. If you don't say it on the microphone in a big way, or in addition to doing it in that big way, you can do it all throughout your day, all throughout your wedding. When you're seeing people, you have to make small talk and it's kind of stressful because then you need to talk to the next person, but you don't have much time to say. You don't want to get into deep conversations with your old coworker that you haven't seen in 3 years because you need to like talk to your new aunt-in-law or whatever. We're going to just stick with a message of gratitude, which is thank you for coming. I appreciate you being here. Thank you for caring about this. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for showing up. It means something to me. I see you. I value you. And I am grateful to you. That is like the message that everybody wants to hear. That's like, if people get that, especially from a bride who is like the most busy, the most, you know, sort of the central light of the entire thing for the most part. I know I'm like not giving enough love to the grooms, but this is our podcast, so we can do this. The bride also gets like all the extra attention of like the dress and the thing. So we get to talk just to the bride. The bride is sort of that figure that like nobody, they want to be in proximity to the bride, but then they don't know if they can talk to the bride. They don't know how much of her time or her bandwidth, her energy they can take. And the whole thing gets so tricky. But your job, if you choose to accept it and take my advice, is to say thank you to your guests and give them that moment. If a guest comes home from a wedding and they got that moment with a bride where they felt like, oh my gosh, she appreciated that I like took the red eye and I hired the babysitter and I did that, or, you know, moved meetings, took PTO, whatever it is, the fact that she kind of recognized that I moved mountains to be here for her and show up for her, especially in this post-COVID world where people don't know if they like ever need to show up to anything again. I think it is the piece that like completes the whole circle. All of the effort people went to go to your wedding, you being uncomfortable with all the attention, and then we can close the whole thing out elegantly and beautifully with really saying, thank you. I see you. I appreciate you. It also levels the playing field. Like you're able to give them a gift back. So subtle and it's so tiny, but I'm telling you it matters because most of what people want is to be seen and acknowledged in this small, beautiful interaction, right? Being seen on like a big scale, that's when it's scary. But being seen by one person and by the one person that matters most on a wedding day, which is the bride, I said it, is gold, right? That is your gold. And that's why when I'm like telling brides, I'm like, I know you feel so overwhelmed and sort of powerless sometimes after being dragged through the mud of wedding planning for the most part. It can just be really, really stressful and a lot of pressure, but you have a lot of power in it. And this is one of those moments where, yes, you have all these people staring at you. Yes, everyone's evaluating you. What do you look like? What did you do? Are you gracious? Are you this? Are you that? All that. But when you decide to say thank you and to acknowledge people and give that, that is your currency. That is your gold. That is your power. It is enough. I'm telling you, in every moment, it's enough. It will feel like it's not enough. That is your brain lying to you. It is enough. Just the same way that your brain lied to you and told you that like these people, somehow it was dangerous to be in front of your loved ones. It's just a little fallacy in the brain. That's okay. Our brain is full of lots of crazy stuff. I should not have to tell you this. Most of the thoughts we have are useless, meaningless, and not true. Your job is to pick out the ones that are helpful and useful and can move you forward towards your dreams and your happiness and your peace. And so I'm telling you, in every instance, gratitude is the antidote to this icky feeling of being the center of attention. And for some of you guys who have more of a social anxiety that is really underlying this and like a pre-existing condition to this, there could be a couple more steps. But for most of you, I think it's the breath, the narrative, the reminding yourself that it's just a safe place that you created. And yes, it's pushing your edges, but in a good, good way. And no matter what, you're just grateful for it. You're grateful that you did this. You're grateful that they did this. And you're just going to let gratitude be the magic medicine, equalizer, metabolizer, enzyme that it really is, that allows you to show up and accept the joy, stay in this present moment, and let it be the wonderful experience that you dreamed that it would be, that you spent all this money for it to be, that you want these photos to remind you that it is. Like, this is one of the key components. So I hope that helps with your center of attention trepidation. And if you are dealing with that or anything similar, you know I'm here for you. KaraMarine.com, make your appointment. we can solve all of your wedding related problems. Whether your wedding is a year away or it happened 6 months ago, this stuff kind of lives strangely on a spectrum of time. And I am here for it. Love to talk about this stuff with you. And if you want another way to visit this material, don't forget, I wrote a book called Whispers to a Bride. It's on Amazon. Grab it. It's a great gift for maybe somebody else in your life who is in their bridal era. And I just really have made it my mission to transform this often really weird, stressful chapter into something really sacred, really powerful, and really transformative on like a soul level. So that is it for now. Until next time, I'm wishing you nothing but bridal bliss.